Well, thank you all for joining us today. Later this afternoon, we're going to have a vote that will start debate on trade promotion authority legislation that will help us open up new markets to American products. By failing to reauthorize a TPA, which is something we haven't done since 2007, American producers are missing out on new opportunities to sell to the more than 96% of consumers who live outside the United States. And nowhere is this more important than when it comes to the area of agriculture. America's high-quality agricultural products are in high demand around the globe, which is why ag exports last year hit a record $152 billion. And if you think about what that means for a lot of the commodities that that we raise and grow in this country, we export about half of our wheat, soybeans, and rice. We export 75% of our cotton. We export 70% of almonds, walnuts, and pistachios, and 20% of poultry and pork. And the list goes on and on and on. In my state of South Dakota, we export about $2 billion a year, primarily wheat and soybeans and corn. We also export other types of products like beef. But we can't afford to take these exports for granted. As other nations are actively negotiating new agreements, our producers are going to be left on the sidelines if we don't get trade promotion authority put into effect. In fact, there are approximately 260 right now preferential trade agreements in place. The United States is only a party to 20. 260 preferential trade agreements, and we're only a party to 20. And so that's got to change. The way that we change that is to get TPA approved here, open new markets for American farmers and ranchers, ensure that our trading partners can't use unjustified barriers to keep our products out. Today, I'm pleased to be joined with a couple of my colleagues who represent states that are agricultural states that will benefit enormously from trade promotion authority and ultimately from the trade agreements that will follow from that. And then we've got some producers here, representatives from the Farm Bureau, American Soybean Association, and National Cattlemen's Beef Association. But before we turn to them, I'm going to turn to my colleagues, and I will look first to the senator from Montana. Senator Daines will be followed by the senator from Colorado, Senator Gardner, and then eventually we expect the chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, Senator Roberts, to join us as well. But Senator Daines.
All right. Thank you, John. In Montana, agriculture is our number one industry. It's a $5 billion a year industry in Montana. In fact, 80% of Montana's wheat crop is exported. And Montana farmers and ranchers know that 96% of the consumers in the world are located outside the United States. So as we work to continue to grow our producers, to help our Montana farmers and ranchers grow their businesses, it means we're going to have to grow our businesses overseas, which means we need to have fair and free trade policies to allow our producers to do that. TPA is going to help us create new markets for our farmers and ranchers. In fact, it supports one in five Montana jobs, as trade does. It's very, very important to us. But also importantly, not only the jobs, but these trade policies save the average Montana family more than $10,000 per year. These trade policies mean jobs. It means opportunity. It also means competitiveness. And so we have strong support back home. In fact, I had a teletown hall meeting. We had tens of thousands of Montanans. A lot of our farmers and ranchers joined the call last week. The strong support for the legislation we'll be moving forward here in the next couple of weeks in Washington, because Montana farmers, Montana ranchers, Montana manufacturers want us to get this done to create jobs and opportunities for our future in Montana. I'm going to turn it now over to Senator Gardner.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you very much, Senator Cory Gardner from Colorado. I'm very worried about the future of rural America. I live in a tiny town of about 3,000 people. We sell farm equipment. The family business is 100 years old this year. And I worry each and every time that I'm home and throughout our small towns in the eastern plains about the boarded up main streets, about what's going to happen to keep not only existing generations of farmers and ranchers on the farm and ranch, but what we are doing to bring new generations of farmers and ranchers back to our small towns. What we have to do in this country for agriculture is to find new ways to bring new value to our crops, our cattle. And trade gives us that opportunity, new value-added opportunity to make the wheat that we grow, the corn that we raise, the cattle on our ranch even more valuable and even more profitable. And that means our main streets and our rural communities are sustainable and vibrant and strong, and they will continue to bring people back to keep them alive. In Colorado, one of the nation's leading wheat producers, we export nearly all of our wheat, $750 million worth of beef exports. And if we were to open up and have equal access to trade, our potato market would grow nearly three times. From Main Street to Malaysia, trade is good for rural Colorado. It's good for rural America. And it is how we will keep making sure that Main Street continues as strong as ever.
Thanks, Corey. We have with us today representatives, as I said, from the American Soybean Association, and joining us from that fine organization today is Richard Wilkins. He is the first vice president from Delaware, and he's going to be followed by Jeff Slavin, who represents the Virginian Cattlemen's Association. He's the president of that organization and also a member of the NCBA, and he'll be followed by Paul Wenger, who is the California Farm Bureau president, and delighted to have all of them join us today and share their thoughts about the impact of agricultural exports on their states and on their economies. So we'll start off, Mr. Wilkins.
Thank you, and thank you especially to Senator Thune, Chairman Roberts, Senator Daines, and Senator Gardner for holding today's event. It's one that provides a great opportunity to discuss a topic about which so many farmers like me are concerned about. As the senator introduced me, my name is Richard Wilkins. I farm in Greenwood, Delaware, about 2 hours east of here, in the center of the Delmarva Peninsula. On my operation, I raise soybeans, corn, wheat, barley, vegetables, hay, and beef cattle. Most of the soybeans that I raise find their way into either poultry feed or are exported as whole beans through the Eastern Seaboard export channels. Either way, the soy I produce is sent to demanding consumers in all corners of the world. I only tell you this story to highlight the fact that even in my small rural community in southern Delaware, we are directly impacted by global trade discussions like the one we're having in Washington this week. Soybean farmers like myself depend greatly on seamless and efficient international trade. So Trade Promotion Authority is a top priority for us. TPA is critical for soybean farmers because new trade agreements expand market access and help American soybean farmers as we look to maintain our position at the vanguard of world agricultural trade. We can't conclude agreements expeditiously without Trade Promotion Authority. In the immediate term, this means the Trans-Pacific Partnership with our partners along the Pacific Rim. In the future, it means agreements with Europe and a broad range of new partners. The bill currently under consideration in the Senate gives the U.S. Trade Representative the ability to get the best deal possible for American farmers, and it provides Congress the oversight it needs to ensure every agreement works for everyone. We had some difficulties earlier in the week, but we appear to be back on track and headed for a vote later today, which is a very good sign. This is a deal that absolutely needs to get done. There is the will and the support on both sides of the aisle, and believe me, farmers are watching extremely closely because a great deal of our livelihood depends on what happens with this legislation in the coming days and weeks. Soybeans and soy products are the most valuable United States agricultural export. In 2014, the U.S. exported roughly $30.5 billion in soybeans, soybean meal, and soybean oil. Moreover, the export share of annual U.S. soy production has grown steadily. Between 2000 and 2010, the value of U.S. oilseed and product exports more than doubled, from $9 billion to over $20 billion. Given these numbers, it is clear that our industry's growth is tied to the access we have to export markets in other countries. The absence of Trade Promotion Authority puts that growth in serious jeopardy. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Mr. Slavin. Jeff.
Thank you. My name's Jeff Slavin. I am from Virginia. And my family and I have lived on land 2 hours from this point for six generations. We've been there that long, and the cattle have been there that long. For First, I'd like to thank everybody for giving me an opportunity here to represent my industry and agriculture as a whole. Cattlemen, cattlewomen like myself and members of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association overwhelmingly support open markets, level play fields, and science-based standards when it comes to international trade. Without a doubt, the U.S. beef industry produces the best beef in the world. We welcome competition, and we embrace an opportunity to showcase our product to 96% of the rest of the population live outside this country. In order to do that, we need to continue to break down tariff, non-tariff barriers to trade. Last year, we set records with this industry export sales, U.S. beef exceeding $7 billion. This was no accident. It's a result of years of work, building markets, negotiating agreements such as those in Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. In order to continue to build demand, we need future trade agreements bringing tariffs down to zero across the board. The U.S. is already one of the world's most open economies, but we need to ensure that we level the playing field for all markets. Trade agreements are the most effective way to eliminate these barriers. And in order to negotiate the best arrangement for the U.S. economy and the U.S. beef industry, our trade negotiators and trading partners need a clear signal that the deals they negotiate will be presented to Congress for a vote up or a vote down. Trade Promotion Authority does that, assuring that the President and Congress negotiate present, future trade agreements with common objectives. Congress needs to present the administration and our negotiators with the clear and specific goals going into trade negotiations, not to micromanage these agreements with amendments once a deal was reached. You don't need to look any further than amendments present in the House and Senate committees in their markups of TPA legislation to understand why it is important that Congress present these expectations prior to reaching a free trade agreement. Amendments are presented that had no connection to trade, no connection to breaking down trade tariffs, no connection to economic growth. No trade agreement can be reached if Congress can amend and renegotiate trade deals after the fact. Congress has a vital role to play in both giving directions for future trade agreements and ratifying those agreements. But the process must be done in a manner that facilitates trade, not hindering those arrangements for political posturing or partisan infighting. If we continue to hold up pending and future trade agreements, we will quickly fall behind our competitiveness overseas. There are other countries with really strong agricultural markets, and they're actively working to secure these agreements for their individual countries and for their individual producers, many without high goals of tariff elimination that the U.S. is demanding in places like the Pacific Rim. There are, as stated earlier, over 260 preferential trade agreements worldwide, only 20 of which involve the United States. In order to compete, we need clean TPA bills to pass Congress. Given the President the authority to move forward with the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, I commend the hard work of Senator Thune and his colleagues in supporting this legislation, and cattle producers will continue to stand with those who are champions of trade. Thank you all for the opportunity to speak.
All right. Mr. Winger.
Thank you, Senator Thune. My name is Paul Winger. I'm president of the California Farm Bureau. It's my honor to step in for Bob Stallman, who couldn't be here today. I do serve on the American Farm Bureau Board and part of the executive committee. Farm Bureau strongly supports efforts to increase agricultural trade through a comprehensive new trade agreements. In order to reach the best agreements, as has been stated so many times, we strongly support the passage of the bipartisan Congressional Trade Priorities Act of 2015, commonly known as the TPA bill. I cannot say enough. As Senator Thune said, last year we had a record $152 billion in exports for American agriculture. We are on pace this year to drop back by $9 billion because we have not been a part of any of the many agreements that are going on around the world. If we do not meet the demand, somebody else will meet that demand. And so we need to step up and empower the president and our trade negotiators to negotiate the best deals they can with the guidance of Congress. We all know what happens when you have too many cooks in the kitchen. What you get isn't going to be very good. Congress does have TTIP, the Transatlantic Partnership for Investment and Export. We need to be involved in these programs. We think my state of California, 350 different commodities. Last year, we exported $20 billion of food products that went overseas. Of that, it directly correlates to 153,000 on-farm and processing jobs. That is really significant for our state. But even nationally, the Port of Oakland, the fifth largest container port in the United States, over half of the products that come out of there are agricultural products from California and across this country. It provides 28,000 jobs directly in that local economy and also 500,000 jobs across the country. It is significant, and that's just one port. As we see the growing middle class around the world, that growing middle class is eager to have the products that we grow on our farms across this country. And unfortunately, as we go into negotiations, too many times it's because of tariff and non-tariff trade barriers, non-scientific trade barriers that prevent our ability to market our products overseas to a very willing consumer overseas. And as been stated before, we need to get beyond some of the politicalization of trade. And we are growing on our farms and ranches what people across the country desire. Now we just need to empower our trading partners to be able to do that. Senator Thune, we appreciate the opportunity and everything you're doing. We would encourage a bipartisan support of the efforts in the Senate today, and then we'd ask that post-haste that the House of Representatives would move to also support TPA so we can get on and be a part of these very, very important trade agreements that are in the future, not only for agriculture, but everybody in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And we have been joined now by our closer. I know him. I know him as Mr. Chairman. He's my chairman on the Senate Ag Committee. But I've known and worked with Senator Roberts for forever, back when he was chairman of the House Ag Committee. But more importantly, he wants to be, I think, known as a Dodge City wheat farmer. Is that right? So the Dodge City wheat farmer is here to close us out.
Sort of thought I'd be a cowboy, but anyway, should have been a cowboy. Thank you very much. As chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee and member of the Finance Committee, we've been working for this for a considerable amount of time. If you bring it back home to Kansas, we got $12 billion worth of exports, about 71,000 farmers and ranchers, everybody else concerned. So it's a big deal for Kansas. It's a big deal for farm country, farmers, ranchers all around the countryside. 1 billion people, 65% of the world market, our relationship with Japan and Canada, great trading partners. You just can't ignore that. And then 9 other countries to boot. I'm glad we've made some progress today. I'm glad that our colleagues across the aisle who decided to ride into a box canyon and sit on a couple of cactus and think about it turned around, and now we have some progress. But this is going to be an ongoing challenge, and we look forward to it, but it will benefit everybody in America, more especially American agriculture. And we will do everything we can as members of the Senate Agriculture Committee and Finance Committee to get this done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Pat. Questions?
What is your sense of the impact that this week's bipartisan agreement on a way forward, considering all four trade bills, considering the Democratic proposals as well as the original TPA proposal with TAA? And what do you sense this is going to have, impact this is going to have on the House, if any, where today there may not even be half the number of Democrats that are needed to put this over?
It's a tougher battle in the House, and we have a couple of guys who served over there not too long ago and understand, I think, the thinking of the House, and we know it's going to be a heavier lift. But I think it's really important coming out of the Senate that we have a big vote. I think the bigger the vote is coming out of the Senate, the more Democrats that vote for this, that I think, and I think Republicans for that matter, too. I mean, if it's a big Republican vote, I think it'll help solidify some of the Republicans in the House. So I think there will be some momentum generated if we have a good, strong outcome here. And we're going to have a spirited debate. There are going to be a lot of amendments offered. Some of them are going to be hard votes. And hopefully we'll be able to keep it in as close a form as we had coming out of the committee. And as Senator Roberts mentioned, he and I both serve on the Finance Committee. We had a lot of these votes and a lot of this debate in the Finance Committee. That will continue on to the floor. A lot of those same amendments will be offered. They won't be easy votes, but I think everybody realizes how important it is we get to the finish line, get the result. And I think the better our result and outcome here is in the Senate, the stronger, the more momentum we will build going into the House. Yes, sir.
I have thought for a considerable amount of time that if there's one issue that this new Congress can work with regards to the president, why trade would be that issue. I'm not sure how this works exactly, and that with regards to some Republicans, obviously the involvement of the president remains a question mark in terms of trust. On the other side, he's having a tussle with some in his party. But as we said in committee, with the people who raise the issues that are always raised with the trade bill with regards to environment or labor and the TAA and also human rights, you can just go down the list. Every time you do that, you can make a speech, you can make a standing, you get a standing ovation to those who really, that you're speaking to. But in the end result, you have to have a trade bill. In the end result, you got to come down to the basics and say, okay, we can talk about these other matters, and they're important to the people that they are important to, but you got to get a trade bill. So I think this this first step and careful consideration in the Senate will buttress support in the House. I certainly hope so. I realize that the bloom is off the lily to some in the Republican Party for ideological reasons or other reasons. But that should not stop us, you know, from going ahead. And so we will do our best. We will persevere. And I think we'll get a trade bill. Thank you.
Put the bloom back on the lily. And feel free, Corey or Steve, anytime you want to hop in here.
I just had a question on timing. I mean, do you think this is something that can be done before the Memorial Day break, or do you expect to be taking it?
Well, I had hoped to have it done before the Memorial Day break. I think our leaders had hoped to have it done, but that required a level of cooperation that we didn't have this week from Democrats. And I think they have recognized now the error of their ways. And we're back at the table, and we've got this agreement, so we'll have the vote this afternoon. I think we'll get on the bill. But now there's going to be obviously open amendment process, and that'll run us into next week, and who knows, maybe into the Memorial Day break. And it may be that we don't get through this until after the break. Ideally, it'd be really great to you know, put this one up on the scoreboard before Memorial Day and then be able to have the House act on it when they come back after the break. But I think it's going to depend entirely on the amendment process, how lengthy that becomes, and how exhaustive it becomes, how many people actually are going to want to get votes, and how cooperative both sides are at this point. But it'd be great if we could wrap it up.